Today's sermon comes from Psalm 2. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are an opening, an introduction to the whole book of Psalms. In Psalm 1, I read that for call to worship. If you look at that, it talks about the two ways of life for an individual. Okay? You can choose to live the righteous way or you can choose to live the wicked way. And I know that you're here because you haven't signed up to live the wicked way. Okay? But it shows you the picture of these two different ways as an individual. Psalm 2 is thought to be a psalm that was used when they coronated a new king. And it talks about the community choosing the right way to go, is what it talks about. So listen to these words, Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son or he will be angry. And your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. As I said, this most oftentimes would be used during the time of the coronation and the installation of a new ruler in Jerusalem. In all of Israel, they would read these words and they would talk about these things. That God is the one. God is the one who puts leaders in their place. God is the one who leads and guides. But above all that, Jesus Christ is the ruler. Now, the interesting thing about this psalm, and I know some of you know this, psalms were the hymn book of the Israelite children. These are words that they would sing together or chant together. My main devotion that I use every morning is the Divine Office, and I've started going back to listening to it instead of just reading it. And they chant all the psalms. And I will tell you one of the things, as you hear psalms chanted over and over again, it sticks much deeper than just reading it. There's something about using both my eyes and my ears, it causes it to stick better. And you come to a place where you can sing along with them or chant along with them. Well, this would have been what they did with this. And there are four stanzas in this psalm. Four different things that it talks about throughout this psalm. And the very first one, it talks about how nations decide how to do their own thing. So what we need to remember is that most people plan for their own benefit and glory, often at the expense of others. That has happened since day one. After God created people. And it happens currently up to this day. That people are making plans for their own benefit, for their own desires, for their own wants, for their own ways, and they don't care
if it hurts somebody else. And you see it all the way around the world to this day, don't you? You can't, it's not possible to read the news, to watch the news, without seeing people that have caused a disruptive situation because they have planned what's going to happen, oftentimes for their benefit. And that's what this first part of this psalm talks about. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together. Is that not what happens in our world? People come together and they decide what they're going to rule about and how they want to rule, and they don't care what God's will is. They only care about what they want and what they can accomplish out of life. Probably one of the biggest things I think of American life, and it's not this way in some places that I've been, but American life, it's all about me and I. And it's all about what can I get out of this? What's my benefit for participating in this? I very rarely hear anybody say, what's other people's benefit if I participate? What do I get out of this? And I've heard that many, many times through 30 years of ministry, that people will say, well, Pastor, why are we giving to these people? What do we get out of it? What do they do for us? And see, that's a very centralized vision. It's not a vision of what does God want? What does God desire? It's a vision of what do I get out of this? If I do this, what do I get? What benefit, what blessing do I get? And you see, even today, the leaders of our world are doing this. And you can see it around the world in all different kinds of places. Some we get to hear about and some we don't. Well, the psalmist tells us that God laughs at them. Because God's already installed a leader. God laughs at their plans. Because God has already installed a leader. And that leader is Jesus Christ. I'm an American by birth, but I'm also a citizen of heaven by birth. Or shall I say, rebirth. And my allegiance now in my life is to the leader that God has installed. That leader being Jesus Christ. Being the most important. Being the one that I will follow. You see, this leader is God's Son, Jesus Christ, who will inherit all and will break down those seeking to be the world leader, the world ruler. You can see that all throughout history. That people who tried to establish themselves as the ruler of the world end up fading away. Jesus is the leader, is the ruler. And all of Scripture tells me this. All of Scripture. All of Scripture tells me that God has established Jesus Christ, God's Son, as the leader that I need to follow. As the one that I need to walk with. As the one that I need to know well so that I can be just like Jesus. That's the whole path of the Christian walk. The whole path of the Christian walk is, Lord, I'm coming to you because I dedicate myself to your kingdom and establishing your kingdom on this earth just as it is where? In heaven. And the Scripture says what here? It says that for all of those who are trying to establish their own kingdom, God laughs at them. God laughs at them. There's one quote coming into my mind, and I can't remember exactly who the leader was, but I want to say it was Alexander the Great, but I'm not sure. Somebody will tell me differently afterwards, so I'm not quoting Alexander. But I remember there was one world leader that accomplished what he thought was being ruler of the world. And he got to that place and said, what else is there? And found out it was all for nothing. I do know that Alexander the Great's kingdom that he established fell apart and was divided amongst four other people, and their kingdoms didn't last either. You can read through all of Scripture. You can look through all of history. When leaders get together and plan what they're going to do against what God has established, it always ends up falling apart. It always has. Because Jesus Christ is the one who will inherit all. And he will break down those seeking to be the world ruler. It will happen. One of my favorite parts of Scripture is Philippians chapter 2, and I believe it's verses 5 through 11, where it talks about that Jesus fully understands, and by the way, they think those verses are a hymn of the early church. I wish we had the music to go along with it, but they believe it's a hymn, and it says that Jesus understood how hard it was for humanity to grasp a hold of who God is. And he left behind all of his rights and privileges and came to live upon the earth to show us God. And it said that he went even so far to die on a cross. And Scripture says in Deuteronomy, anybody who dies on a cross is condemned. And Jesus did that for us. And then that song ends up in verses 10 and 11 of Philippians chapter 2. It ends up by saying, and every knee shall bow, and every heart will confess one day that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. The only one. The only one. The one that God has established. So what does this mean for our world, though? And what does it mean for us? First off, leaders need to turn to Jesus Christ and serve him to live blessed lives. Leaders need to turn to Jesus Christ and serve him to live blessed lives. That's the only place I can learn how to live the life that God wants me to live. And that's why I encourage you all the time, read the Gospels. How did Jesus interact in the world? How did Jesus react in the world? They bring a woman to him who has committed a sin, and they tell him. Scripture says we should stone her to death. What do you say, Jesus? The interesting thing is Jesus doesn't say anything. It says that he stoops down and he starts writing in the dirt right in front of him. And it doesn't tell us what he wrote. But it says one by one, starting with the older men, they disappeared. And Jesus looked up from writing in the dirt, and the woman was the only one standing there. And he said, is there nobody here to condemn you? And he looks at her and says, you've been forgiven. Go and sin no more. Now, we can wonder what he's writing in the dirt. I have a feeling he was writing the names of other sins. Because he says, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. That's how Jesus takes care of sin. He redeems people. He doesn't shun them. He loves them. And this world needs that, doesn't it? I am absolutely convinced if the church would show love at every opportunity that they can, that this would be a different world. But somehow when the person cuts me off on the interstate, from the left lane to the exit, in a tenth of a mile, it excites part of my brain that's not love. That means I got to do something about that. And it doesn't mean that I got to yell at them. It means that I need to fix something in here. If that's my immediate reaction. For you see, Jesus Christ is a Lord who loves. Wednesday night, someone told me about that the Buddhist monks were coming through town and were going to be at Legacy Church on Saturday morning, that you could spend some time in conversation with them. Friday morning, I did not go. One, because I want to spend some one-on-one time talking with them, not just hearing them speak somewhere. And I know that we can say very simply, they're not following Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus. But I want to say something that I realized as I watched what has happened with this. People flocked to them because they were about peace and they were about love. You know what that tells me? It makes me question, is the church showing peace and love that people flock to something like that? Why are they not here this morning in the same magnitude that they were for the Buddhist monks on Friday morning? At a very early hour, 7 to 8, 8 o'clock, they were on the bus and gone. According to one news station, I find this hard to believe, but I wasn't there. There were 700 people there. I don't think that church holds 700 people. So that tells me there were a bunch of people outside that couldn't get in. I've never seen that happen here. Not once. I've been here almost 10 years, and I've never seen people outside when I opened the doors for us to leave. People flocked to these guys because they were sharing peace and love. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Isn't our leader, Jesus Christ, our Lord, all about peace and love? It tells me for people to flock to something like that, that many of you would say, well, they don't believe in Jesus, so they're not going to heaven. People flock to that because they're looking for peace and love. Okay, there was one lady they talked to. She went to go see him because she wanted to see their dog. And there's probably some of you that would prefer to go see the dog, not the monks. But I would really like to spend some time with them and say, explain to me how you're finding peace and love. Explain to me how you're sharing that. Because the way that they're sharing it is drawing people. Shouldn't that be happening with our churches? Shouldn't that be happening with the message of churches? Guys, we're about peace and love. So I question, are we living like our leader? few weeks ago, I don't know when it was, I quoted to you what Mahatma Gandhi said about Christians. Mahatma Gandhi said, "I don't like Christians. I like your Christ, but I don't like Christians because you don't act like your Christ." And Mahatma Gandhi followed the teachings of Jesus. He went to a church one time and he was told, this is the reason he never continued to go to church. He was told by people in the church, "We don't want your kind here." So he never went back. And he says, "I like your Christ, but I don't like Christians because they don't act like your Christ." I wonder what would happen if we gather around this leader who is Jesus Christ, and we gather around people who follow Jesus Christ, and we all come together following Jesus Christ, giving out love and giving out peace, giving out grace and mercy. I wonder what would happen to this world. It might be a different place. So for me, it's these leaders leading people to follow Jesus Christ we should follow. That's who we need to follow. Not the ones out for their own personal gain. Not the ones designing their own system and ostracizing some folks. We need to follow the leaders that will follow Jesus Christ. Because that's what this world needs. That's what we need. What did I need as an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old? I needed somebody to love me. Poor me, I didn't have a girlfriend. Off to college on my own. And along comes three guys to show me the love of Jesus Christ. And it changed my life. That's what we need, isn't it? Janet spoke up. We should be about reaching out to the community. And when I say that, I don't mean church folks, always. We need to reach out to the people that for some reason or another don't feel comfortable being at church. Don't feel loved. Don't feel like they can have peace. And we need to show them this way of Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 about individuals that walk by God's ways and communities that walk by God's ways. Not people designing their own system for their own betterment, but living their lives, bringing love and peace to this world. Are you acknowledging Jesus Christ as the leader God has established? Because this psalm very clearly says, any other established so-called leader that's not following Jesus Christ, God sits in heaven and laughs at them. Are you following Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because we need you more. We need you in a deeper way. So many things are happening in our world today that are causing division, disruption, chaos, hurt among communities and families, when what we really need is to follow Jesus Christ. and be a person who helps, a person who loves, a person who brings peace. Lord, help us to identify how we better can follow this Jesus Christ. How wonderful it would be, Lord, if churches got as much recognition as a bunch of Buddhist monks walking on a journey. Lord, help us to be people that people will flock to find out about Jesus, the salvation that's offered, the forgiveness, the redemption, the rebirth, the recreation, and to find out about love for one another. Because Jesus told his disciples, when you express love, that's how people will know that you follow me. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.